for several prayer meetings when I've had the privilege to bring the challenge. We've considered Paul's admonitions near the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I invite you to that section again. You would turn there. Some of these are rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Well, this is part four of that series, a series I call My Responses to God, and taken from that portion of chapter 5. And I call our attention to another brief but very compelling challenge to believers in verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. God's people should always strive for excellence. Whether we're trying to obtain material things, purchasing something, for example, or attain intellectual pursuits, learning some things, refining a skill perhaps, or fulfill spiritual goals, drawing closer to the Lord, being more faithful and useful for Him, we all should do it from the soul, with all our might and our skill, and for the glory of God. We are accountable, after all, to God to do our best with what He has given us to use for our own good and for those that we're responsible for, and of course for His glory. You'll know the Colossians 3:23 admonition that Paul gave, where he wrote, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." That word heartily in that verse literally means out of the soul. So we don't approach these things casually and carelessly. Well, anyone with good sense, I think, tries to get his money's worth when he's making a purchase, or to make sure that his efforts to accomplish something, to build something perhaps, or to complete a project, gets the best results possible. And if we need more culture, we seek what is best in art, drama, music, philosophy. We compare one thing with another to find what is most attractive and engaging. We're proving all things when we do that kind of thing. However, you would know that Paul is not merely exhorting the saints to find the best used car for the money, or the most suitable symphony. He was urging believers to value everything in the light of eternal realities. And further, the context here seems to focus especially on valuing truth. The statement just prior to this exhortation concerned the proclamation of God's word, where he says, "Despise not prophesyings." Perhaps one way to illustrate the importance of our exhortation at hand here, prove all things, is to ask the following. If you knew an enemy was trying to kill you by poisoning your food, how would you decide what to eat? Would you want to know who prepared your meals? I think probably we would. Would you investigate the growing of the food and the transporting of the food, the process by which it comes from the field to your table? I think we would. Would you look at it and smell it carefully? Would you hire someone else to taste it before you ate it? Would you find a poison expert to ask his advice about what to do? The point is, you know, we need to eat in order to live. And just for the sake of the illustration, we would be proving all things food-wise. And, of course, we would hold fast that which is good. We try to determine if our food had been poisoned. But while we're in that process, we would also be craving good food, healthy food. And the more we put our food to the poison test, so to speak, the more confident we would be that the food we did eat was good, good for our health and our well-being. So we're really not talking about physical food here. We're talking about something actually more important. So prove all things. The term in our text, translated prove, means to put to the test. As a number of more recent translations actually have put it. It's not a casual act. It's a term actually for an assayer who tests metals to see what the content is and the quality of that metal that he's supposed to test. Could be gold or silver or something else. And that process of proving requires precision. It requires diligence. And certainly it requires a correct standard against which he's going to compare the sample at hand and find out literally what he's been asked to find out. So put all things to the test, whether it's comparing literature that we may be reading with, we compare it with the classics to find out what is worthwhile reading material. We compare art and music to determine what is beneficial, what lifts our thoughts toward heaven and produces good in our life. And we also analyze everything we hear when the Bible is preached and taught. We compare what we read or hear with the clear meaning of the Word of God. We measure all of it by the perfect standard of truth that God has committed to us in writing, the text of Scripture. His Word, which is rightly interpreted by a mind that is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we go on proving all things, especially all things spiritual, as they come our way on a regular basis. In Acts 17, Paul went from Thessalonica to Berea, and we read something about the saints in the city of Berea that I find interesting in this connection. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Paul preached God's truth, and they were prepared in mind to receive and believe that truth. They received the word with all readiness of mind. But they were also proving the truth of Paul's words by searching the scriptures daily to confirm that what he had said was biblical. We don't generally think about checking up on the Apostle Paul, but these Bereans went back to the Old Testament and found there that what Paul had said concerning Christ and concerning God's fulfilling his promises was in fact true. And that readiness of mind then prepared them for taking hold of that truth and living by it. And that's what we should be doing. And I think we are doing. We should prove all things. One writer said there are few more important rules in the New Testament than the one in this passage. It shows what is the true nature of Christianity, and it is a rule whose practical value cannot but be felt constantly in our lives. Other religions require their votaries to receive everything upon trust. Christianity asks us to examine everything. Mr. Barnes was commenting on that particular verse, prove all things. Well, there's that other part there. We should also hold fast that which is good. This is the other end of proving all things. You don't prove it in order to throw it away. You prove it in order to retain it and to make it useful. To hold fast is to cling to something or to someone, perhaps. To seize it as though your life depended on your holding onto it, even though someone else or something else intends on taking it away from you. It's a strong word about retaining possession of something. Hold fast that which is good. There are a number of passages, there's a number of them in the book of Hebrews and other places as well, that admonish us to hold fast to something. I came across some other words that express the same thing. How about these terms? Grasp, clasp, cleave, clench, clutch, catch, fix, fasten, seize, secure, grip, and grab. Now, I know you didn't need that list, but it just has some zing to it, and I thought I would give that to you. Cling to, like your life depended on it. Whichever of these words works best for you, God wants us to have his best. And when this one who gives good gifts only, and that every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, as James tells us, as he exhorts us to prove all things, we are also to hold fast that which is good. And that's vital because God is giving us his good things. But there's something else going on. And that is the devil entices us to take instead his empty substitute. What he offers, of course, is worthless. Worthless. And actually harmful. We must exercise spiritual discernment and mental diligence to reject what is unworthy, empty, harmful, spiritual and moral poison, if you will, and receive God's good things and cling to them like our spiritual lives depended on it. And they do. The exhortation to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, is at the very heart of what we might call Protestant Christianity. We seek to know truth as God has revealed it in his word, and we're personally responsible for it. We are not ultimately responsible to believe what some other person on earth says is true. We are not answerable to any priest on earth, but instead we must come to our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God's throne. We do not have to listen to any human mentor. They may be in error. But we should hear the Holy Spirit, who indwells our bodies and quickens our minds to receive God's truth. And even our own parents are not our ultimate authority, as wonderful as our parents are, a gift from God. We must obey God, our Heavenly Father, who is worthy of our absolute attention and our reverence and our obedience. In Ephesians 4, Paul wrote that God gave certain ministers to his church in order to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. And we do that by not quenching the Spirit, by not despising prophesyings, and by proving all things and holding fast that which is good. Let's pray. We thank you, our Father, for giving to us truth. We thank you for putting it in writing so that we can be sure that we have your word. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit and his illuminating ministry. We ask that you'll help us understand what you've revealed to us there, that through preaching and teaching of your word, that we'll have readiness of mind to receive those things which come from this word, and then we will hold fast that which is good as we diligently search and confirm the truths of that which we hear in this place. Thank you for faithful preaching and teaching. Thank you for those who labor in your word to do that. And we pray that you'll help us to do our part in honoring you by being obedient to your word as you reveal it. Bless our meditation on these things and our prayer time to follow. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.